Okay, good morning. Welcome to Catechism 2021. This is the fourth Lord's Day, and we have four questions today, so I will pray and we will get right into it. Father, we thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your goodness to us with everything that's going on around us. Help us to trust in you no matter what. Help us to focus on you. Help us to seek your kingdom first and your righteousness, trusting in you to take care of all of our needs. Father, help us in our study. It's in Christ we pray. Amen. Okay, Lord's Day number 4 brings us to question 9. But doesn't God do us an injustice by requiring in his law what we are unable to do? Now, that's a good question. That doesn't make sense to you why he's asking that in question 9. Just go back to the previous Lord's Day and look at those previous questions. That God requires from us obedience to his commandments, and yet as sinners we are unable to obey those commandments. So doesn't God do us an injustice by requiring what we cannot do? In other words, isn't that unfair of God? No. God created humans with the ability to keep the law. They, however, tempted by the devil, in reckless disobedience, robbed themselves and all their descendants of these gifts. It would be one thing if we really, really, truly wanted to do good and to obey God. But God never gave us the ability to do that. But that's not the case. The problem of sin is not that we truly want to obey God, but we're not able to. It's that we do not want to obey God. And now once we come to Christ for salvation and we receive the Holy Spirit, we do have a true desire to obey God. And by the Spirit, not of our own accord, we do have a true obedience to God, but it's still not a perfect obedience. But the point is, God is not unjust. He is not unfair. And there are some cross-references for your prayer and study. Question 10. Will God permit such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished? Now, that's another common question, and it's a good question. Well, if disobedience is inevitable, if it's the only thing we're able to do, if we're not able to obey, shouldn't it go unpunished, or will it go unpunished? Certainly not. God is terribly angry about the sin we are born with, as well as the sins we personally commit. As a just judge, he punishes sin now and in eternity. He's declared, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." So God does require holiness. And as a just judge, he punishes unholiness. And this idea is woven into the fabric of human existence at every level. You would never say to your children, hopefully you don't say this to your children, do whatever you want. There's no consequences for anything. You wouldn't want your children to go to a school where the teachers said, do whatever you want, there's no consequences for anything. You wouldn't want to live in a town or a city where the judge said, you guys do whatever you want, there's no consequences for anything. You want criminals to be punished. And you could go on and on and on. I mean, you can talk about the level of the nation or the level of the whole world. You want there to be laws, standards, punishments, and penalties to help curb and restrain evil. But you could shrink it all the way down to the level of the library or the grocery store or just the street. You cannot go to those places and just do whatever you want with no consequences. And so we, in our pride, we stiffen up and we do not like when we see these doctrines as it applies to the most important things, the biggest things. But yet they're woven into all of human existence, and we want it to be that way. Question 11, but isn't God also merciful? Yes, God is certainly merciful, but he is also just. So we're beginning to get in some things here about different attributes of God, different ways he relates to humans, different expressions of his character. He is just, but he's also merciful. God is certainly merciful, but he's also just. That means he doesn't ignore sins, even though he's merciful to forgive sins, of course. His justice demands that sin committed against his supreme majesty be punished with the supreme penalty, eternal punishment of body and soul. Commit to heart. This is your memory verse for this week. And then I'm going to go to one cross-reference for a glance before we wrap up. Commit to heart, Galatians 3:10. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law and do them. So please don't think that Christianity is teaching or that the Bible is teaching that the way to God is through our good works. We obey him and therefore he loves us. No, that is off the table. God has a love that's offered in Christ, but it's a merciful love. We are not saved by our obedience to his law. We are saved from our disobedience, from the wrath of God, the judgment of God against our disobedience. But it's not by works. And the passage I wanted us to close on, Romans 3:21. Let's see if I can zoom in here a little bit more. Yeah, that's good. So beginning of Romans 3 is about our sinfulness, scrolling through there. And then we looked at this 1 week ago or 2 weeks ago. Verse 20, for by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. Oh, that might have been 3 weeks ago. I'm not sure. But the law reveals that we are sinners and that we cannot save ourselves. But it doesn't say here. Seven problems with the nature of the scrolling mechanism on this, so be patient with me. It doesn't say that there's no way we can be justified. Okay? There is a way we can be justified. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. So there's a righteousness that's revealed that's apart from the righteousness that's revealed in the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. That means they spoke about it. Verse 22, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. So here's a righteousness that's revealed from God, but it's a righteousness that's provided for sinners. It's a righteousness of God through faith. It's received through faith, credited through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there's no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So, sinners can be justified, but not by works. Sinners can be justified by God's grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 25, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood. A propitiation is an atoning sacrifice. A propitiation is a sacrifice that absorbs the wrath of God on the behalf of others. By his blood, a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. And so this puts here before us the gospel of Jesus Christ, the shed blood on a cross. By his death, by his blood shed on a cross, we can be justified before God by his grace as a gift to us, received by faith, not by works of the law, but this is where we rest. We rest in Christ and who he is and what he did. And the centerpiece of that is his death on a cross. Are we guilty? Yes. Are we rightly condemned by God? Yes. Can we be saved? Yes, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. We worship you. We give you thanks. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Thanks for joining, and I will catch you next week on the fifth Lord's Day. God bless you.
Ooh.